Hello, this is Sue Lloyd, one of the members of the International Accounting Standards Board. The purpose of this short podcast is to provide a brief update on our leases project. This is a very important project that we are undertaking jointly with the FASB. We have received a lot of feedback from interested parties about our proposals, both in our comment letters and through outreach activities. As is always the case, we have heard a range of views. Some continue to be of the view that it would be better for us just to focus on improving disclosures about leases. What I'd like to do in this podcast is to provide a perspective of some of the key considerations for why we think it is important that this project results in lessees actually recognising assets and liabilities on their balance sheet when they enter into leases. I will also provide my thoughts on the reasons for some of the specific decisions that the IASB has made in its re-deliberations. As is always the case with our presentations, the views that I express are my own. The IASB believes that all leases provide a source of financing and that lessees obtain assets and incur liabilities whenever they enter into leases. But contrary to that, at the moment, most leases are off balance sheet. The significance of the missing information varies by industry and region and between entities. But for heavy users of leases, the effect on reported leverage and total assets is significant, as you can see from the slide. Leasing is a significant activity for many preparers, and the proposals are expected to have a significant effect on reported leverage for many. So we are always expected the project to be a controversial one. It's a substantial change proposed to accounting. Because of this, we have carefully considered the views of interested parties. During the project, we've issued a discussion paper and two exposure drafts. We've also conducted hundreds of outreach meetings with investors, preparers, regulators, accounting firms, and others all around the world. The current accounting for leases creates real issues of comparability. This slide is a real comparison of two entities in an industry that uses property, plant and equipment intensively. Entity 2 leases about 70% of its equipment, and Entity 1 less than 10%. As you can see from the slide, unless adjustments are made, key information used by investors, such as total assets, which provides an understanding of asset utilisation by the entity, and leverage figures, are affected. These key metrics are significantly affected by the off-balance sheet treatment of leases. You can see how important this is by contrasting the leverage information and total property, plant and equipment provided by the reported figures on the slide, and comparing those with the figures adjusted for the effects of leases. The reported figures show that Entity 1 has higher leverage, when in fact Entity 2 has a higher gearing. The absence of information about leases means that today we do not have a level playing field. And it isn't just comparability that's an issue. It's a pure lack of information. This can truly lead to the presentation of an incomplete picture. This slide shows how vastly different the leverage and operating flexibility of entities can be when the effect of lease commitments is taken into account. This is illustrated here using a sample of retail chains that ultimately went into liquidation. As you can see on the slide, their liabilities range from 7 times to more than 90 times higher than the debt that they report if you consider off-balance sheet lease commitments. A lot of people tell us that all of the information that you need to know about leases is available in the notes, so they question why we need recognition. Investors, they say, can make their own adjustments. And it is true that plenty of investors do make adjustments for operating leases. They do things like multiply the annual lease expense by 8 times. Paradoxically, we compared these common approaches with an estimate of the effect of measuring the lease liability more specifically, and we found that commonly the lease obligations are overstated when these adjustments are made. So some preparers may actually benefit from more precise measurement of lease liabilities. But unsurprisingly, given the crude measures being used and the granularity of information that can be obtained from the notes to the financial statements, We also found that the estimates are poor, as you can see from the slide. And these are the adjustments that are made by sophisticated investors. The wider investor community, such as those who make decisions based on database information, don't make adjustments at all. This creates information asymmetry. So even with improved disclosure, these people would be unable to properly compare Entity 1 and Entity 2 that I mentioned earlier, or to see the real leverage of the retail chains in the earlier slide. And that's why we think recognition on the balance sheet is essential. And it isn't just us. There are preparers who choose to capitalise all of their leases in non-GAAP information. This happens in response to requests from their investors or because they themselves view leases as a significant source of financing. In addition to capitalising lease obligations, we also know that a number of preparers apportion the lease expense into an interest expense component and an amortisation component in response to investor needs. In a sense, we could be seen as codifying best practice by requiring all leases to be recognised on the balance sheet and requiring interest expense to be recognised in profit or loss. And we have investor support for recognition too. We spoke to around 270 investors and analysts around the world about the most recent proposals in our 2013 exposure draft. And while investors always express a range of views, we got overwhelming support for the key issues, that recognition of leases on the balance sheet rather than just disclosure is needed, and importantly, confirmation from users of the financial statements that they consider all leases to create assets and liabilities for lessees. Investors are certainly interested in the liabilities that lessees have incurred, but not only that. They also told us that they're interested in the assets available for the lessees' use in order to compare those who purchase and those who lease. So we think that the case for the recognition of leases is very strong, and the FASB and ourselves are on the same page on that fact. We both agree that all leases, other than short-term ones, should be on balance sheet, and we agree with the measurement of the lease liability, which means that we have agreement on the most fundamental issue in this project. In the discussions to date, however, we do have a difference of view on the treatment of leases and profit or loss. But even that, in most cases, has only a small effect on P&L overall because of the portfolio effect of leases. The ISB has tentatively decided that for all leases, the right of use asset that is created should be amortised in the same way as other fixed assets, and that interest expense should be recognised for the lease liability, whereas the FASB have tentatively decided that leases that would be finance leases today would be treated in this way, but that leases that would be operating leases now would be reflected in P&L following the lease expense. The fact that we get a pretty similar outcome even in profit or loss, despite our different decisions, does rightly raise the question of why we have a difference of opinion on the profit or loss treatment in the first place. The ISB didn't make the decision to apply a single model to all leases lightly. However, in the end, the three main considerations were to do with investor information, conceptual considerations, and operational costs. And I'll give a few comments on each of these. As I said, as is often the case, we heard a range of views from investors, but most investors told us that leases create debt-like liabilities. Given the range of views, we also felt that the information provided by the accounting with amortization and interest expense recognized in profit and loss in all cases provides a set of information that satisfied the needs of the greatest range of users of financial statements. The ISB also likes the coherence between the balance sheet and income statement of recognizing a debt-like liability and interest expense. Moving now to the conceptual considerations. A key consideration for the decision by the ISB is that the ISB believes that all leases provide a right of use, and that all leases involve the provision of the right to use by the lessor, who also provides a financing element. Because those key features are common in all leases, we believe that all leases should be accounted for in the same way. and finally looking at operationality for preparers. We saw a benefit in having a single model because it means preparers do not need to classify their leases, and they do not need to have two different approaches to measuring lease assets depending on different lease classifications. We also saw a benefit because the amortization of the lease asset, the right of use asset, is the same as for a fixed asset. So existing fixed asset information systems can be used to account for the right of use asset. And finally, irrespective of the profit or loss treatment, the accounting for leases requires the liability to be measured in the same way. So we view the profit and loss decision as cost neutral as regards the liability measurement. As I mentioned before, some preparers already choose to apportion their lease expenses in a way that reflects an interest portion in their non-GAAP information. This treatment is consistent with the treatment of the liability on the balance sheet and levels the playing field with those financing acquisitions with debt. In addition, this effect, which would result from the IFB's decisions to date, in fact improves operating profit compared with treating the entire lease payment as an operating expense, which is illustrated in this slide. So far, I've focused a lot on the benefits of information provided to users of financial statements. So we're also very much aware of the need to consider cost for preparers. As I just mentioned, it was indeed a consideration in reaching the decision regarding the lessee model. So far, we've further sought to address cost considerations in a number of ways. As I said, by removing the need to classify leases, by providing an exemption for short-term leases that is in fact broader than what we proposed in the second exposure draft, by simplifying the measurement of the lease liability by excluding variable lease payments and option payments, by confirming that the model can be applied on a portfolio basis, and by considering an exception for small ticket or small value leases, which the ISB don't think was the main focus of the project, and where the cost of application may outweigh the benefits. Both us and the FASB have also decided that we will essentially leave lessor accounting unchanged. We've also sought to improve the clarity about what is a lease and what is a service. Obviously, with leases being brought on the balance sheet, this distinction is a critical one. Importantly, in the vast majority of cases, this distinction should be a simple one to make. It should be clear from the documentation whether you have a lease or a service. But it's true that at the edges, it can be tricky. So we have sought to provide more guidance about how to make this distinction. I think that there is still a perception from some that all preparers disagree with the idea of putting leases on the balance sheet. That, in fact, isn't true. To illustrate this, you will find at the end of the slide deck some extracts from comment letters we've received from preparers, along with extracts from comments we've received from investors about the project. I hope that you have found this background information helpful. The deliberations for this project are ongoing, and our objective is to issue a new standard during 2015. Thank you for listening to this podcast.